So last time we look at some of the attributes and character of our Father in heaven. Can you recall some of the things we talk about? We talk about his name is holy. We talk about his kingdom is coming. And we talk about his will needs to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in today's scripture, we also have three things about us. So first of all, give us today our daily food. We need food. And forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We have debts and debtors. And also, we're tempted. We're easily tempted. And so we pray to our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. If you look at this list, I don't know how you, what your thoughts are, but when I look at these things, I'm surprised how weak I am being a human. Food, debts, temptation, and potential harm by the evil ones. All these things make me feel I'm so vulnerable and so weak. This is probably not often how we portray ourselves. But I think here, Jesus really cuts to the core, to our identity, to who we are, so that we are reminded that we are dependent on God. And we also see three actions of our Father. He gives, and he forgives. Also, he delivers. So again, we see his loving action, his saving action in our lives to meet our needs. So first of all, let's look at give us food. And this is what I'm going to focus today. So I promise you won't feel hungry because the message is about not about eating, but about not eating. Beginning from verse 11, this prayer of Jesus seems to have changed its tone. So last time when I prepared the message, I feel like, oh, all the message is about turning your eyes up and focusing, keep your focus on God who sits in his throne so high above, right? His will is higher than our will. His way is higher than our way. And his kingdom is yet to come, even though it is ongoing. The feeling, the sense of it is everything is above. And all of a sudden, we have this, our attention, our eyes are pulled back to the earth and to our very tangible, practical needs with food. So this petition, give us our daily food today. To put in other words, feed me, feed us. Can you remember when was the last time you say such thing to someone? Like, feed me, give me some food. Do you have something to eat? I assume probably to your mother or to your wife, depending who's cooking the most. But it almost feels embarrassing to be so direct and open about your needs. And it is not easy to, you know, you're not gonna ask such thing to anyone, right? Because you're being vulnerable. You are showing your needs and you are showing your vulnerability to someone. Is that who we are? Or is that who you think who you are? Sometimes when I sit in the atrium at Regent, looking at people, often it's a break, right? A lunch break or afternoon break. And I sit there watching people eating. And occasionally I have this weird thought. I said, interesting, we need to eat. Or even region people, as smart as these region students, we need to eat. And no matter how often, how much we want to stay in the library as much as we want, working on our papers or Greek, we have to take a break because you feel hungry and then your brain doesn't work as you would like it to be, to like it to. Yeah, so there is a limit and a boundary to our body that prevents us from being a superman, superwoman. And this is our creatureliness. We are created. We are a human. As human, we have needs. We need to eat. We need to rest. And Jesus sharply points to this core of our identity. Not only we have needs, but also our needs are an ongoing thing. It's not, it cannot be met once for all, but it's an ongoing thing, it's an everyday thing. So the Greek word for daily, epiousios, only occur twice in New Testament. So both Matthew and Luke, in only these two chapters, have the Lord's Prayer. And it cannot be found in any of the whole classical Greek literature. So the meaning of it is not so clear. But it's suggested to be to mean daily or future. So it has a future aspect, and we'll talk about it later. As daily, another Greek term for this meaning is katheimeron, and meaning according to the day. I like this translation better because in a minute you will see the roots of it in the Old Testament. So yes, we are here, the Jesus help us to see that we are praying to our daily needs. We're not praying asking for a surplus. We're not asking for a mansion or a lottery or a big amount of money, so that we don't have to worry or think about in a whole year. But we're asking for a daily need. Like every day, we have to come to him. We have to be reminded that we are depending on him. And this according to the day, I don't know if it rings any bell to you. Have you, can you recall any story in the Old Testament? So after God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, they are brought to the wilderness. And Israelites complain that there is no food. And God, in his mercy and grace, he's providing them food from heaven, which is manna. You can look at this passage later at Exodus chapter 16. So let me read you a few passages. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions." Have you ever stored food in your room? I know some of you who are not here, but I know some of you who do smuggle food to their own room because they're not supposed to. They're supposed to share food with their siblings. But I know some of them smuggle the food to their own room. But you will not do this because you don't think your mother will provide you or put the food on the table the next day. I hope not. So it's not that you're worrying about, oh, what I'm going to eat, so then I'll steal some food or store some food. Yes, but in the wilderness, Israelites are giving this test by God, that they don't have food for the next day. And they're told to only take what they need for that day. which is 2 liters manna for each person. So if a big household, they will take a whole big basket of mannas, but then each person in their household will have enough. Or if you have a smaller family and then you just take a smaller portion, but again, you have enough for your needs. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. But this is a very difficult test because after this meal, you don't know what you're going to eat the next meal or the next day. So what they did is, okay, let's gather more. So they went beyond the measure they're given, the instruction. So they store more food so that they will have a sense of security. What happened was the manna that beyond the measure went bad. And so it smells really bad. It's no longer good to eat. And so by doing so, the Israelites have to learn the lesson that they must have obeyed what God has instructed, and they must go with instruction just to get enough for what they need, not to go beyond. And after this, the people gather the food morning by morning. So again, this is the meaning of that daily bread according to the day, and each family according to its need. And also, so here we have 2 principles already. You have to collect the food according to the day and also according to your need. And another thing is you are not supposed to collect for on Sabbath day. So God provide them as twice as much what they need on Saturday so that they don't have to, so that they have food to eat on Sunday. So that they can keep Sabbath day holy, set apart for God. If you remember my last sermon, we talk about God is, our Heavenly Father is holy, which means set apart. And so again, this is the time need to be set apart to honor who God is and to remember He is providing us regular provision, meet our daily needs. So Moses said, eat this food today, but today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. So here we see a picture of raining down, the manna is raining down from heaven, and they're picking up this food on earth. And it's a picture, I think, of the overlap of heaven and earth. So God being our Heavenly Father, He is the source of all our needs. He's provider, and He is giving us all these blessings, both spiritual and physical, from above. And we, as limited, as vulnerable human beings, bound to the earth, we are receiving all the good things, all the blessings He's giving us. And so our daily needs can be met. And not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, again, we have this story of feeding in the wilderness. So Jesus feeds 5,000, Matthew chapter 16, feeds 5,000 with five loaves of bread and 2 fish. So He's feeding all these people with this limited food. By doing so, He's not just to feed them, but also to show His power, His supernatural power. And for Israelites, seeing such a miracle happening, and with their memory, their tradition in the history, their mind and thoughts are brought back to what happened in the Old Testament. And so they will see this is Yahweh, this is not only prophet, but it's the work of God among them. So each day we are receiving God's grace and we're receiving His blessings. There is no such thing as storing of God's grace and mercy. We just have to come to him every single day. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." This, again, this idea of new grace, new mercy every morning. So brothers and sisters, come before the Lord, come before our Heavenly Father, and take the grace and mercy you need. Take whatever you need, and trust in him on a daily basis. Early on, we said there is a future aspect of this word daily. So it's in saying daily or according to the day, we also anticipate in the future every single day we'll still have food and meal and all the things we need. But there is this also the idea of a feast where we gather at the Lord's table in this petition. So in Isaiah 25, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. It's a picture for the last days. It's a picture of the future. And the New Testament authors pick it up. "I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So here, our Lord is talking about himself, that we gathered around him and we take him as our bread of life. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So again, you see, what Jesus does in his ministry is a continuing act of the Old Testament. It's not something brand new. And Israelites are questioning him, "Who you are? How come you are saying, you're the great one, we should come to you. Can you be greater than Moses who provide us food?" And Jesus actually saying, "No, it's not Moses, it's your Father giving you the food through me. And here I am now as a person living among you, dwelling among you. Now I'm giving you myself as this bread. And if you have me, you will never go hungry." In another passage, he says, "I'm the living water. If you drink me, you never go thirsty." And the highlight of this eating, feeding, and food theme is apparently the Last Supper in the last chapter of the Jesus life. And he's giving this occasion, this ceremony to the to all his disciples, indicating that I'm dying. I will be laying down my life on the cross. And as I'm doing this, I'm giving you my life as your food, giving you my blood. So next one is forgive. Forgive our debts, forgive our debtors. I want you to think about when you say, "I forgive you," Or when you hear, I forgive you. Or when you say to someone, I forgive you, what in your mind, what are you thinking? Does that mean I'll never talk about it, or I'll never think about it? I forgive you. What does it mean? Because we always say, oh, you need to forgive so-and-so, or I forgive you, or can you forgive me? Here it says, forgive our debts. So interestingly, it's economic concept. Remember, we talk about our Father is not just my Father, and so our relationship with God has to do with our relationship with one another. And the root for this word, the meaning of it is let, allow, leave alone, forgive. So forgive, as a translation, is only one small part of the whole spectrum of the meaning, the translation of this word. So, for example, in the story of Mary anointing Jesus, and Judah blamed her for wasting so much perfume and not giving it to the poor. And Jesus said, leave her alone. So let her, let it to be. Allow her to do so. So a couple years ago, I did a paper on this chapter, Deuteronomy 15, about release for debtors. So in the Old Testament, every seventh year, you are supposed to cancel all the debts that your debtors owe you, and it's in the law. So in that practice, the Lord is asking them to let go and to not hold a tight fist or not be hardened. And so I think it's the same idea that forgive, this word in the New Testament, is picking up from. So to forgive is to let go, is to leave it, is to allow such thing happen and not holding against to it. And last time we talked about how our Father require us to forgive because he first have forgiven us. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. In the Bible, we often have this pattern that give because you're given. Forgive because you're forgiven. Treat foreigners among you well because remember, once you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. So it's always do so because you are given or you are being done such. So not even one thing we're asked to do, to love, to forgive, to give, you name it, is not that we are not done by God first. So we are first loved by him, and so we can love. We are first forgiven by him, so we can forgive others. And we are given abundantly so that we can give. So really forgiving or mutual forgiveness is like a badge of membership of his kingdom. In his kingdom, in bearing his image, in wanting to do what he does to us, we are forgiving one another. And the unforgiving spirit is contradictory to the kingdom, contradictory to who our Father is. And deliver us from temptation and evil. This, we also have a perfect example in Jesus Christ. So when he, after he got baptized, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and the first test is about food. It's saying, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and for 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So you see, again, this food thing, this basic need thing is so important because it's easily become a snare in our lives. And when when the evil one wants to tempt Jesus, first of all, it's like, why don't you meet your need? Why don't you provide for yourself? Why don't you trust in yourself, in your own power, instead of our Heavenly Father? And Jesus defend by saying, no, I'm living not by bread alone, but by the word of God. And in his resisting the temptation, the 40 days, I think lays a solid foundation for his future ministry, because he is not yielding to the Satan. He's not yielding letting himself to be the Lord. Instead, he remained so faithful and obedient to Father, and so that he can be our deliverer. He can save us from the same kind of temptation. So I think I try to make 3 points. First of all, we are all very vulnerable. We are limited and we are broken. In my last few weeks of this last term, I was under tremendous pressure and I was working so hard, and day and night, just morning, wake up, going to the library and writing my papers. So basically from 8, 9 till midnight every day. And I feel like I cannot remain open to people anymore, because I was so inside, I was so tired and weak and vulnerable. And I think in order to put myself up and not to fall apart, I have to be, or at least pretend to be strong or powerful, so that I can finish this up. And so on Palm Sunday, I was visiting First Baptist Church and listening to the pastor there, Daryl Johnson, who's retiring soon. And I think as he was talking about lay down your life and die to yourself as Jesus has done so, I think the Spirit was really reawakened my heart and spoke to me that my problem is I'm putting up this shell or putting up this protection on my own for myself, rather than come as this vulnerable, limited, and broken person to the Lord and to other people. So I think that's a very enlightening moment. And during that time, I was working on a paper of German church under Hitler. So my question for that paper was also, how come the very strong Germany, where has such a strong church, Lutheran church, how come they become so yield to the alien powers rather than to God? Again, I was at that moment, I think I realized it was because after the First World War, the whole country was under such a broken state. They lost the war. They lost 2 million people, and the economic was collapsed. Very soon they had this financial crisis, and the whole nation, they became so robust and wanting to be powerful. So they twisted the image of Christ into this Superman. So in many of the paintings or artworks, you see that Jesus became this Superman kind of hero, superhero. And so that they can follow, following this hero type of Jesus, they become so powerful and strong. And as you can imagine, the result is disastrous. And again, we see that's not the reality of who we are. That's not the reality of our identity. Our true identity is this limited and broken and vulnerable being in dependence on God. So the second point is we are utterly dependent on God and need to trust him every single day. We need to walk with him every single day. We need to come before him to be reminded that you are truly the source of everything. You know, living in North America, we probably don't have to think about food or, you know, worry about our basic needs. And so sometimes, even though before every meal, we would say grace to God, but how genuine we feel that we are truly living on his provision, and how much we do feel grateful to his provision rather than our own intelligence, our own prominent background, academic or family. So we need to ask God to renew our hearts and open our eyes to see this reality that he is our daily bread. He is the provider of our life. And lastly, we live in the overlap of heaven and earth. Just like the Israelites in the Old Testament, during Old Testament time, in the ancient time, they were receiving manna once in their journey, in the history. For 40 years, they're living on earth by receiving manna from heaven on a daily basis. It is a hard discipline. It is not easy. If we blame Israelites for complaining too much, we need to put us in their shoes. They're complaining because there was no food. And for 40 years, they have to eat one type of bread. Can you imagine eating one type of bread for 4 days, maybe? Yeah, so it's a hard discipline for them and hard training for them to know that God provides for them, and they need to be faithful and obedient. But, so today, we are in a time that Jesus has come and will come back later. And so the kingdom is on earth. And so we, like the first three petitions, we ask that his kingdom will come and his will be done. But sometimes we are not being vulnerable to each other, just like what I shared in my story. We have prickles, we have very hard shells, we are hurting each other. And by the way, this is a picture drawn by Rachel. I used it in my other sermon at CM. This is how we hurt each other and how we need to forgive each other, because we do, out of our stubbornness or our pride, we do hurt each other. And only when you become vulnerable. So the porcupine does have a soft part, which is inside. So only if you open yourself and be vulnerable to each other that you don't hurt each other, and then you can draw closer. So just to summarize this whole, two sessions of Lord's Prayer, we need to remember that our Father in heaven, he is holy God. He is holy. He's different. He's set apart. And he wants us to be holy, to be different, because we are his children. He is our Father. and his kingdom is coming, has come, is coming, continually coming, and will fully come when Jesus returned. So here, as we live in this overlap of heaven and earth, we want to do his will. We want to be like him. And we want his will be done in us and through us so that we can be blessings in joining Jesus' ministry. Our Father in heaven, he is good, he is holy, and he is perfect in his love. He does give us food, provides us everything we need. He forgives us our debts. And so in other translation is forgive our sins. And so we can forgive others. And he also deliver us from temptation and evil. Last, I think this is also very applicable to us, for us to share gospel with our friends. Because if in eating, everyone needs to eat, right? We are human. And so I think this is why we need to share meals with others, and we can use this as a perfect opportunity to share gospel with our friends. Because, you know, in our conversation, we can talk about where do you think these food come from? Who ultimately can provide your need? And God is not far, even though the first half of Lord's Prayer, we do feel God is so high above, so far. But really, he's also meets us in our everyday living scenario. Here is what Paul preaches at a city in Athens, where they do revere lots of gods and worship idols. But here is how he relates to those people, religious people. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed everything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Yeah, so he recognized these people are religious. They have so many idols, and in case they miss out one, they even put unknown God for a God they don't know, just in case. And he also noticed in their literature that some poets have said, oh, we are God's offspring. So as human beings, we share these things in common in our vulnerability, in our limitedness, in our brokenness. And in our everyday life, we have multiple opportunities to reach out to our non-believers, friends, non-Christian friends, that, look, this is how you can relate to God, how you can meet God in every day of your everyday life. So again, with this, we need to continue to cultivate an openness and attentiveness to God, our Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father,